We've just come from a workshop on social ecology from a group in London called Social Ecology London, and we were talking about the importance of local organising and the fact that the state and the government doesn't know about our individual lives, it doesn't know about our individual concerns, and the idea that the government can set a policy that will solve a problem for a huge group of people who have diverse needs, that's not going to work at all. And what we need to do is organise in our local areas amongst people who know each other, who know each other's problems and concerns, and can work together to solve those problems. And that what we need to do is organise in local assemblies that will be linked together and vote on bigger issues that affect them all together if necessary, in ways that draw power back to people, back to local communities, and away from the centralised state, which isn't in our interests and works against what we as individuals and as communities want to see in our lives.
I think it's been great coming to the climate camp and seeing people from all different parts of the country, but it's important that action continues after that and people go back to their local communities and get to know each other. And a great way to do that is to create a study group so you can get to know each other very well and bounce ideas off each other and come to some sort of consensus about where we should go. I think it's local democracy is a fantastic thing and needs to be much more widespread, and a great way to do this is starting by studying and then try and get more and more people involved, because everyone agrees that democracy is a good thing, so I think we need much more of it in all spheres of life, in economics and in politics. There's no reason why we should have bosses or politicians or anyone else telling us what to do. Democracy means ruled by the people. The people need to rule.
So, there is an emerging consensus that renewable energies are the energies of the future. And for most people who have been advocating renewable energies, this is very good news, because they have this rosy picture of renewable energies being the basis of decentralized communities that produce their own energy and that are socially and environmentally sustainable. But in fact, what is starting to happen right now is something very different. What is starting to happen is that the same corporations that are in control of the current energy system are slowly, but at a very increasing speed, taking also control of the renewable energy sector. And this could bring terrible consequences with it, because there is a major difference between fossil fuels and renewable energies, which is that renewable energies are spread over a huge territory, particularly in the global south, around the tropics. And in order to control renewable energies, you need territorial control. So what we are already starting to see is that power corporations are displacing, in some cases violently, rural communities who live in areas with very good renewable energy resources in order to make space for their energy projects. And this is only starting now. In the future it could be far worse. This is only one more manifestation of a very long ongoing conflict between rural and urban economies and societies. And if the transition to renewable energies is done by the same companies that run the fossil fuel economy, then this conflict is going to exacerbate and get to a point where it's going to be extremely violent and very destructive. That's why it's very important to already now start taking the practical steps needed for rural communities to be able to do the transition themselves, without giving up control over the territory to these corporations. For this, you need access to technology, access to knowledge, and also access to finance. And all of this is complex, but none of this is impossible. And there's actually a very special historical chance now to get hold of all of this, because of the particular situation in which we are now, which offers a very high profitability for renewable energy in certain countries where there is subsidies for renewable energies. And this could be used in order to get together all the factors that are needed in order to make it possible for rural communities to organize themselves and take control over the most important production factor that there is, which is energy. And if we are able to do this, then this is a revolutionary change. This would be such a positive change. It would totally change the relation of power between the centralized urban economy and decentralized rural economy. The problem is that there is very little time left for this, because the moment when it becomes cheaper to set up, for instance, a wind farm than to set up a thermal power plant, there's not going to be any more time left. There's going to be a gold rush to take over control of all the best wind sites of the world. And the same is valid for all other renewable energy technologies. So that's why it's very important that we use this time that there is still available for making sure that transition to renewable energies not only happens, but happens in the right way, and done by the people who should do it, the people who live in the areas where renewable energies actually happen, where they exist.
Okay, hi, I'm Ollie. I'm here doing a workshop about Land Matters, which is a land project that I live on in Devon, talking about living more sustainably and how we can have less impact on the land and still have a pretty good, exciting life full of excellent stuff going on. We don't need all this consumer garbage to make us happy, because actually we're much happier when we're living safely, soundly, with our mates, simply, and doing meaningful work. And I'm here at the camp because it's just a brilliant thing. It's just hundreds of people getting together, doing their stuff, coming out of nowhere on one night. We just arrived in this field, load of people, about 150 people, turned up, all started working together. No leaders, just people who'd done a bit of preparation, asking people to help, everyone mucking in, everyone getting on with it, building this amazing place, sorting everything out, sorting out what needs to be done, talking about how we can get on top of this crisis, how we can take power back, how we can do things ourselves, how we can work together, because that's what's fun, that's what's exciting, working together, doing, learning from each other, having fun while we're doing it, learning about the problems, learning about the solutions, and then starting to make it happen. And that's what's going on here. No more head in the hands. Oh God, I can't think about it. That's all too depressing. I'll just carry on with my lifestyle, even though I know it's fucking things up. You know, no more. I'll leave it to someone else. I'll just vote in a different government. I'll vote in a different politician, because we know they're all the same. They're all the same party now. They're all talking nonsense. They're all hand in hand with business. They're all about one thing, and that's making their own lives better, making more money for themselves. And just much more ordinary people sorting it out, doing what needs to happen, and look how exciting it is. It's just amazing, and it's just like, don't believe the hype, get down here.
In order to stop climate change running out of control potentially, we need to keep global temperatures from crossing 2 degrees above pre-industrial levels. Many politicians and environmental groups all agree on this, that there is this 2-degree safety rail which we have to stay within. Now, in order to do that, we have to peak global emissions within the next 7 years from now. So by 2015, all of the emissions of greenhouse gases which are coming from the global economy have to start dropping. And if we don't make this timetable, then the chances of crossing this 2-degree threshold become higher and higher. And that's incredibly important, because tipping points in the Earth system could then come into play, such as the release of carbon from the Amazonian rainforest, if that collapses, the potential collapse of the West Antarctic and the Greenland ice sheet, which would give huge rates of sea level rise, and also the potential release of methane from Siberian permafrost as that melts. So all of these possible tipping points, which we have not yet got to, come into play if we potentially don't peak global emissions within just 7 years from now. So that's why we face such an urgent timetable, and that's why it's so important that people get out on the streets and demonstrate and become politically active over what is the most important issue facing humanity today.
Yeah.